With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.
The liberal globalist order is on its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks. Imagine a corporation so horrifically mismanaged that its entire board of directors revolts, its shareholders stop paying, and its CEO is rated the worst executive in the country. Now, imagine that corporation is the third largest city in America. As we speak, Chicago is teetering on the edge of something that has never happened in its history, a total government collapse. The trains would stop, garbage would pile up, lights in City Hall would literally burn out. For decades, progressive urban populations have been warned that their politics is simply unsustainable, that their cities would come crashing down. Well, the future has arrived in Chicago, and it's about as disastrous as it can possibly get. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor. You know, before we begin here, one quick programming note. I want to invite all of you to something very special next Monday night, the 22nd. I'm doing a live reading of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through all the amazing conservative and Christian themes that pervade this timeless classic. It's a perfect way to start off your countdown to Christmas. It's Monday the 22nd at 7 p.m. Eastern. And if you RSVP, you'll get a free digital copy of A Christmas Carol to keep. It's completely free to join. Just scan the QR code on your screen to reserve your spot. And I can't wait to see you on Monday night. And you know, I was thinking about the Christmas Carol, particularly the specter, right? The cloaked, menacing phantom at the end of the story, the ghost of Christmas future, who points to an ominous end for all who refuse to turn and repent of their evil, wicked ways. And I thought, what a fitting image for the city of Chicago, or any Democrat city that thinks it can tax, spend, and virtue signal its way to prosperity. Chicago is at the brink economically, socially, and politically. At the heart of the fallout is Chicago's ultra-woke mayor, Brandon Johnson. Johnson wasn't elected because of his executive experience or his managerial expertise. He was a paid organizer for the Chicago Teachers Union. He was the chosen son of the far-left progressive movement. And he was swept into office on promises to tax the rich and invest in the people rather than police. He didn't hide his ideology. Like Mamdani, he ran on it. And so the people of Chicago are now learning what happens when a woke activist takes the wheel of a $16 billion municipal corporation. He drives it directly off a fiscal cliff. Earlier this month, Johnson found himself staring at a massive $1.2 billion budget hole. Now, a normal mayor, an actual administrator, would, of course, immediately look at cutting spending. Where can we cut costs and bring this budget back under control? And the city of Chicago's got plenty of fat. They could start by cutting the $600 million they spend on illegal migrants, or they can trim their bloated administrative state. But Johnson did what ideologues always do. He doubled down. Instead of cutting costs, he proposed a head tax, a per-employee tax that employers would have to pay for each worker they hired. Johnson wanted a $400 penalty imposed on business owners for every single employee they hire. Now, just think about the economic illiteracy of that. Okay, so here's a very simple economic principle. This is economics 101, okay? You always get more of what you subsidize and less of what you tax. More of what you subsidize and less of what you tax. Now, you would think that a mayor of any city wants flourishing businesses and surging employment, right? How on earth do you get either when you're taxing businesses, you're penalizing them for the very act of hiring? Now, this would be one thing if Chicago was already, you know, absolutely bustling with business, okay? I get it, right? So perhaps Chicago is so amazing, such a great place to do business. Entrepreneurs are thriving that you're requiring them to basically pay a fee for the privilege of profiting in that amazing business environment. I get that. But that's the exact opposite of Chicago. Businesses have been fleeing the city in droves. Get this stat. 80 of Chicago's 98 neighborhoods, that's 8 in 10, have lost at least 10% of their businesses in the last 10 years. 8 in 10. The Magnificent Mile, the very posh area on the near north side, they were hit the worst. They lost 50% of their businesses. I mean, you can't have a functioning city without a thriving business sector. When businesses leave, I mean, think about it. Think about just the whole doom loop that goes with that. When businesses leave, they take corporate tax revenue with them. They take jobs with them and thus income tax revenue. They leave behind abandoned commercial property. They leave behind reduced consumer spending and a shrinking local economy, which constricts economic development, which lowers the quality of life for everyone. The quality of education reduces, which means no one wants to move their families there, which means the neighborhoods begin to contract and shrink. When businesses leave an area, the economic fallout cascades through multiple layers, not just of the local economy, but the society as a whole. And that's exactly what's happening to Chicago. And what's Johnson's solution? It's to fine the remaining companies for creating jobs. Johnson's budget proposal was so absurd, it was so radical, you're not going to believe who rejected it. This is where the story takes a turn Johnson never imagined in his worst nightmares. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor. I got something brand new for you. My weekly wrap-up every Friday, you're going to get one powerful email with replays of my live streams, top videos and podcasts, upcoming events, and Patriot wins from our community. It's your weekly dose of encouragement, faith, and celebration, all in one place, delivered straight to your inbox. Don't miss out. Sign up free at turley.pub/recap. Johnson's budget proposal was so radical that his own city council, a body dominated by Democrats, together responded with a near unanimous no over our dead bodies. In fact, most Chicagoans think Johnson's budget is utterly absurd. But this is where things get rather fascinating. You see, we aren't watching Republicans block his left-wing agenda. There are virtually no Republicans in Chicago government. We're watching Democrats revolt and then ironically revolt against the logical conclusion of their own party's platform. Remember, Mayor Johnson is the logical outworking of the progressive Democrat wing of social engineering through government spending, right? The Democrats love citizens dependent on them and on big government because it creates a reliable voting bloc of people who benefit from welfare programs and are therefore incentivized to vote for politicians promising to expand those benefits. Additionally, it increases the size and scope of government, which expands the bureaucratic apparatus that enriches and empowers progressives, all the while engineering society and distributing resources as they see fit. Brandon Johnson is the patron saint of these kinds of policies. And yet, the Chicago City Council has essentially gone rogue. They're trying to pass their own budget in an effort to bypass the mayor entirely. Why? Because they know that if Johnson's tax hikes go through, the exodus of taxpayers won't just be a trickle, it'll be a flood. But the most damning numbers in all of this aren't the budget. They're in the polls. Brandon Johnson currently holds the title of America's worst mayor, that according to the Wall Street Journal. And his polling has consistently collapsed to around just 14%. And here's the real statistic that should terrify the Democratic establishment. Johnson is losing his base, particularly among Black Chicagoans, the very demographic he claimed to champion. He is losing support. That support is cratered to the 30 percentile. Why? Because ideology doesn't pick up trash. Ideology doesn't stop carjackings. Ideology doesn't pay the rent. Ideology doesn't create jobs. Ideology doesn't grow the economy or lower food prices. We are increasingly seeing town halls where lifelong Chicago residents are screaming at the mayor. They aren't asking for more equity programs. They're demanding federal oversight. Some are even calling for the Department of Justice, or ironically, Donald Trump, to intervene. When you have deep blue voters begging for federal intervention against their own progressive mayor, you know the experiment has failed. This brings us to the core, I believe, of the intellectual lesson here that we're learning. What we're witnessing is something akin to what's called ideological capture. Brandon Johnson cannot pivot. He cannot cut spending because his entire worldview is built on the idea that government spending is the only moral good. He can't get tough on crime because he believes the justice system is inherently oppressive. He can't turn his back on illegal migrants because he believes the orange man bad. So when the money runs out, he hits a wall. He tried to pass the cost onto businesses with the head tax, failed. He tried to blame racism, failed. Now he's threatening to veto the city council's budget, effectively holding the entire city hostage to his dogma. This is the end of state modern progressivism. It works great in a university seminar. It works great on a campaign poster. But when it meets the cold, hard math of a municipal balance sheet, it collapses. Chicago is now facing a doom loop. Raise taxes to cover the deficit, and businesses leave. Businesses leave. Tax revenue falls. Tax revenue falls. The deficit grows. Deficit grows. You need to raise taxes again. And the whole cycle repeats. The whole doom loop repeats. The mayor is pressing the accelerator on a car that is stuck in the mud, and he's confused why the engine is smoking. The tragedy of Chicago isn't that it lacked resources. It's a world-class city with incredible people. The tragedy is that it was treated as a laboratory for a political philosophy that rejects reality. If a government shutdown actually happens, it won't just be a failure of management. It will be a monument to the failure of an idea. The voters of Chicago are learning the hard way that you can vote yourself into socialism, but you're going to have to work your way out of it. And right now, the work is piling up, the bills are due, and the mayor is out of ideas. Watch Chicago closely in the coming weeks. It is the ghost of Christmas future for every city that thinks it can tax, spend, and virtue signal its way to prosperity.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a five-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.